Why is it like everything that you do makes me laugh? Like you reading out of your notebook is funny to me.
What? Does that work?
You are.
I think that's good.
You are.
I had something I was going to ask you just now, but I don't remember what it was.
I really hope you make this juicy.
Can I make it juicy?
Please do.
I'm so glad you said that.
Yeah,
now I'm going to lean into the juice.
Yeah, unhinged.
I'm going to get the squeeze.
Yeah, please.
How was therapy, by the way? Were you in therapy this morning?
Yeah. Can you tell that my eyes are puffy?
No, but is that part? Do you cry? Do you always cry in therapy? I always cry in therapy.
There's something
I've said that to you. I've said that to Beth.
There's something about just being in the room that makes you just want to start bawling.
you know what's funny? My therapist once said to me, she once said to me like a couple sessions in, she was like, do you always cry?
No, she did not.
She did. She was like, do you just cry like normally, like in your life? And I think she was surprised when I was like, literally never. I don't know what's happening here.
This is the safe place.
Like, I never cry. Like, I don't want you to think I'm just going around my life crying. She literally asked me that. Was it good, though? How did you find a therapist? Do you have a local therapist in Nashville, or is this a therapist that... How did you find this person? Because I feel like it's hard to find a really good therapist.
I actually went through Porter's Call.
Really?
Yeah.
And it was actually helpful?
So helpful.
And is it...
And then, because when you go into Porter's Call, which if you don't know what Porter's Call is, it's basically like it is therapy that is free essentially to people in the entertainment business,
right?
Artists specifically, and people that tour, live on the road, yada yada. So I actually had gone to an event for fundraising for Porter's Call.
That's one of the best events I found out about them. I've gone to that event a couple times. It's one of the best dinners.
Yeah.
And so you went to the event and then did you go up to them afterwards?
I went to the event and I instantly donated because I was like, oh my gosh, this was so moving, and like I want to be a part of this is incredible. And then I went through my divorce and I needed a therapist, and I had already needed a therapist prior to that. I just wasn't going.
Had you never been in therapy before?
No, it had just been a long time.
Yeah,
like when I was like younger.
So do you go in person or do you do it remotely?
I went in person. And I went, and then so in Porter's Call, obviously, since it's free, they have to kind of like graduate you out because there's not enough therapists and they need to get more people in that need help on their resources. So they like graduated me out, but then gave me a whole bunch of other therapists that they recommended.
And did they give you a certificate, or what does that look like? Like,
no, I didn't. Like, I haven't gone through my graduation ceremony. Like, Beth, do I get a graduation ceremony?
Wait, but really, that's actually, I didn't actually realize that element of it. So you come in for like a certain period of time, and
probably
then...
like 6 weeks of sessions.
Really?
What you get.
Yeah. And then they connected to you. Did you? Because when I found the therapist that I really like, I had to go through like three awful therapists in order to find this one.
Yeah. No, I instantly loved Beth at Porter's Call. Like, she was incredible. And she did amazing work with me in that short amount of time. And then like after that, she said, I recommend you go to these people. And then I did have to go through a couple of them to find
that's what I'm saying. What I'm saying. Like, you have to go through a couple. I had a couple of bad therapists.
Okay, can you tell me what a bad therapist is to you, though? Because I want to answer after that.
So the first therapist that I tried seeing, I was telling her about what I do in the entertainment industry and how like it's such a struggle and like I'm on the climb. And she said to me, she was like, yeah, you know, like that's the risk. Like, some people just don't make it. Like, some people aren't going to make it. And I literally was like, no, I need a therapist to say this is going to work and we're going to figure it out together. I'm here for support. I was like, that energy is not going to fly. So instantly I was done with her. Second therapist, we get on the call and she started asking me all these questions. And one of the questions she asked me was how much do you drink? And I don't drink. So I said, oh, I don't drink. And like 5 minutes later, she was like, so do you go out drinking a lot? And I was like, no, you're clearly just not listening to me. And that was a huge red flag. And then I think the next therapist I saw was this woman who's great. And I've recommended her to like two or three different people. Yeah. And everyone who goes there loves her. And now I'm done recommending her because I don't want her to run out of.
Don't fill up your schedule.
I don't want her to fill
up. I need you.
Yeah, exactly. No. You can't. Exactly. Okay, so wait. No. So what were your red flags in a therapist?
Well, I mean, it's just the repeating everything you say back to you and then asking you how that makes you feel.
Is good or bad?
It's bad.
It's bad. I
to
agree.
Me,
yeah.
It's like the reflection method. And I'm like, that doesn't work for me because I just was like, I just told you how that made me feel. Like, I just said that. You repeated it back for a whole hour. hour. And then I did give her like a couple of sessions, and then she just kept doing that. And I was like, I just don't think I'm going to get what I need. I really like, I need like encouragement and like suggestion. I'm like really coachable. So like, I need like, where do you think I should go?
Yeah. Cause sometimes you don't know what to talk about. Right. Like sometimes you need a therapist to just sort of start shooting things at you to,
but I understand some people just want to spill. Like they just want to get in there and they just want to talk because they don't have anyone else to talk to. I talk all the time.
My mom's a therapist, actually. So growing up, I was raised by a therapist.
Really?
And funny enough, one of the things she said that like one of her biggest pet peeves in therapy is what you just said is like, that's not what a good therapist does. Is actually like, oh, how do you feel about that? Like that that's like a pet peeve of hers. She says that's not what really what you should do.
I can't believe we didn't start this conversation with your mom as a therapist.
Like, honestly, I don't like to give any free press on the show. It doesn't matter who it is.
Right.
Yeah. But we're here. Here's the point. We're here today to celebrate Alexandra Kay and all the success that she's having. And, you know, there's the story that there's something that you've said that I find really moving, which is there was a point where you're two record deals into your career right now. And there was a moment where you were dropped from your second record deal and you had called your dad and you said to your dad, Dad, like, I just got dropped from my second deal. What should I do? And he pushed you to work as hard as you've ever worked. He said, don't give up, basically.
Yeah.
And that's kind of not what he said in the beginning of this. In the beginning of your journey, he gave you like a year.
Yeah.
And he said, if you don't pull this off in a year, you need to do something else and move on.
Well, he basically said, you can't live in our house.
You have to get out.
So he basically said, like, if you are not going to go to college and you are going to choose this path, then you need to, and this is just kind of shows how like disassociated my parents are from this,
this world, this industry, how could they know nothing about it.
So like a year, if you tell anybody in the business that, they're like, what? It takes like 10 years to get yourself on your feet in this town. But they don't know that. So basically he said, if you are not making a living doing this within a year, then you need to go out and get a real job and you need to find somewhere else to live. But until then, for that year that you're really working towards it, we will let you live under our roof for free, basically, if you're not going to college. And then I ended up signing my first record deal in, I think, 9 months.
And you got an advance. The advance you got from that first record deal was enough that you could justify moving out of the house?
Yeah. So I ended up, going and getting my own apartment anyways.
Where? In Illinois?
Or? Yeah, in Southern Illinois.
And you didn't think when you signed your first deal, you didn't think, oh, I got to get out of Illinois and come to LA or Nashville or somewhere else?
No, because my deal was a St. Louis-based record label.
Network?
Yeah, Network Entertainment.
Network Entertainment. Mm-hmm. So that kept you there. But the second time you get dropped, I'm like moved by this, that your dad kept you in the game. If he had said, wrap it up, do you think you would have wrapped it up, or would you have pushed ahead?
Honestly, I don't really think I ever was planning on actually wrapping it. What would I have done?
I don't know.
Like,
this is kind of hilarious, right?
If somebody looked at you and was just like, at your lowest moment, right? Your lowest moment, when you think about like, I'm not going to pursue anything in this industry anymore. If you actually would have given up in that moment, like, what do you think you would have done? Like,
I think about this all the time because the truth is I want to quit every single day, but I don't know. There's nothing I want to do more.
Exactly.
So I don't know. So if I quit, I don't know what I would do.
I don't think I ever would have done anything else. I remember having that conversation with my dad, and he said, you can either worry or you can work. And I just decided to just like get on my grind like harder than I ever had. And, you know, this is another story that is kind of a – not necessarily a triumphant moment for me, but like it was more like I look back on it now and I'm so grateful that I went through that because it makes me so, so present in these moments and so grateful for everything that I have now.
In the moments of success, you just can feel yourself be present.
100%. I was driving down, I believe it was Sunset Boulevard, and I had not only just gotten dropped from Warner Brother Records, which was my second record deal, I had also just gotten dropped from my management deal, and we had just found out that our show, West Side, the Netflix show that I was on, was not getting a second season and that they were no longer putting marketing dollars in it, and basically it flopped like really hard. And this was supposed to be something that was going to change our lives. We were told by every single person in Netflix, this is our most funded show of the year. We were told by our record label, like, this is the most funded show of the year. This is going to be a massive success. You guys are all going to be huge, yada, 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 right? We were fed this for 2 years. I truly believe this was going to be a life-changing experience, and it crashed and burned super quickly. And then I remember driving down Sunset, and they were pulling my face off of, like...
No, you saw that? I've never seen a billboard go up or down ever in my life. Yeah. What are the odds that you're driving down Sunset
is
coming down?
They have them, like, they have billboards up, but they also have them, like, pasted right on buildings. And they have them on fences and all of that, and they were pulling literally our billboard down as I was going to apply for a job at a bar. I had, like, my resume, and I was going to all the bars.
Does that make you so angry? How many times, like, anyone who's ever done anything in this industry, you know how much something can get promised to you that just doesn't follow through. People promise you shit all the time.
Sure.
And then never happens. Like, was that one of the first times that you realized that someone was promising you that something was going to work, this was going to take off, we're going to invest in this, and then to have the show just kind of go away, to have them give up on it maybe, or maybe just didn't connect? Like, were you just angry that it did just feel like such a letdown?
I was really angry, I'm not going to lie. But I had also just already gone through it with my first record deal. And my first record deal that I had in St. Louis, I had that feeling as well of, we're going to do this and this and this and this and this and this and this. And then none of that ever happened. And when it did happen, it was like, okay, so basically you don't realize that you're spending your own money when you're flying first class everywhere you go with your label kind of thing, and staying in, like, all these really nice hotels and shooting all of these big budget music videos. You don't realize that it's going to turn around and you're like, I will never make money off of any of this music because of how much money was spent.
So getting
dropped. It's kind of those naive moments that, like, I'm like, I've been through so much at that point that, like, I had a little bit of a harder shell. But when that happened, it took a lot for me to get back up, I'm not going to lie.
Really? But, like, to me, I don't want to underestimate your dad just telling you, don't give up. Like, is that a big part of, like, what helped you get back up?
100%.
Or am I overthinking this moment? But to me, that just seems so pivotal.
It was a huge moment, especially with the backstory of my dad, which I'm not going to give too much because it's a long one. But basically, my dad had built like a dry cleaning business from when he was 21 years old is when he started making, you know, a profit and doing really well. And he ended up having 5 locations and he was really successful and our family was doing really well when I was younger. And then he lost it all and went back to square one, was working on the railroad and then back to working his way up in the hotel business, working both of those jobs at the same time. And I remember seeing him come home and be just so tired from getting off of work at the hotel and putting his overalls on and sitting and having his plate of dinner, like falling asleep over it and then going out the door. And I wouldn't see him till, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning when he got home from the railroad. And that is that, like, when he said, you can worry or you can work, like, that's what I flash back to, is everything that he did for our family to keep us afloat in the hardest times when this.
He lived that.
Yeah, he lived it.
He lived that.
And I was like, if he can do it, so can I. You know, it's in my blood.
In a way, this reality show, I can imagine watching some of these clips and maybe feeling maybe almost embarrassed by some of this stuff that's this show.
Yeah, for sure.
In a way, isn't it crazy that this footage even exists?
It's insane because a lot of people don't know that it even exists.
Do you want people to, is it fun? Like, to me, I think it's fun to go back, and I know you. I mean, we never hang out, but I think we're friends.
Right. Yeah.
I know you, and I look back on that footage, and I go, this is a different Alexandra Kay. Like, she's grown so much as an artist. So, like, I can look back on this. I can imagine you watching this and just cringing.
Yeah, so much.
But it's fun that this exists. Isn't it cool that it's archived?
It was a time in my life that I'm like, do you know how cool that felt? Like,
How does it work? Do you really get filmed like 24/7? Like, how does this work?
Constantly. Mic'd up.
How do you
16 hours a day. 16 hours a day, 5 days a week.
How do you have how are you comfortable enough to have such open conversations on the show? Are you acting a little bit?
Because
you
forget that
But you really forget that the cameras are there.
You literally just forget. It's happening for 2 years.
That's how long the 8 episodes were? 2 years?
Mm-hmm.
So you just get so comfortable with the cameras on.
And you're creating, right? Because, like, in the show, we're writing songs.
Yeah.
We're creating. We're collaborating.
By the way, some of those prompts that you were given in that show, to me on the other end, the biggest eye roll ever. Did you feel like this is so dumb at times, or did you buy into it? Like, in the moment, did it feel like, oh, this is great, these prompts, this process, we're doing this thing? Like, did it feel...
To be completely honest, I didn't understand it.
Really?
So, like, the show that I was pitched when I got put on that show, the show that I was pitched, this is what you are kind of auditioning for, or this is what we're Zoom meeting with you for, was so cool. And it was so, like, there was, like, no blueprint for it, and it was so fresh, and, like, it was supposed to, what I thought I was going into originally was, like, these cameras following us through like our everyday grind of being like young unsigned artists, but everybody has a little bit of a platform, right? So like I had already been like really viral with Jolene and like all of my Staircase covers and stuff I was doing. I think I had like 300,000 or 400,000 on Facebook, and at the time Facebook was all like, that was the video platform, so like that was pretty big. Then you had Pia Toscano, who was like huge with American Idol and like almost won, and it was a huge,
that was kind of part of her backstory in
the
beginning.
But everybody kind of had like, and then you had Taz, who was in like a pretty big girl group at a time. Everybody had like a moment that they were kind of trying to like redeem themselves for, and it was supposed to kind of, what I thought was that they were going to be following us through our songwriting process, our collaborating process, and all of this. But then whenever they threw us having meetings, connecting, networking, but when they kind of threw the like musical,
that's where it lost
into
me.
It is where it lost all of us too, and we were all really confused as to what was happening. And so we just went every day just trying to be as authentic as we possibly could and to roll with this and to just trust the process, which is what we were being told, you know, by everyone to do. And I feel like they're just, once the record label got involved, once like so many different people got involved to manage us and to creative direct us and to music direct us and all of this stuff, I think there was just too many cooks in the kitchen and it just got lost.
And it just got lost.
But it was a really cool concept. And to be completely honest, no matter what happened with that show, it completely changed me as a person and it opened my eyes up to just collaborating with so many different artists and different genres of music. And I think it changed
Why did it change you?
Well, first of all, I up and moved my entire life to Los Angeles, not knowing anybody, not having any friends or any family out there. And I would have never done that prior.
Yeah.
But I got this opportunity and I was not going to waste this opportunity. And so I forced myself. And I think that was a huge growing moment just for me as a human, was forcing myself, throwing myself out there and being like, go figure it out. Oh, I'm living in Redondo Beach? Cool. Then I move into Redondo Beach, realize we're shooting in West Hollywood, and it takes me an hour and 12 minutes to get to shoot, an hour and 12 to get back from shoot every day. Okay, that's a learning experience. I need to move to Burbank. Like,
so you move like mid-show or whatever.
Yeah.
I can't believe that's 2 years. That I watched the whole show this weekend.
Yeah, it's about, I lived out there for 2 years, so I would say we shot for a total of like a year and a half.
Are you the only artist on the show who's really doing it right now? Because I was sort of going into everyone's profiles and I was seeing who, I was like, who are all of these people?
Everybody's kind of doing different things right now. So like James is in, he's gone definitely towards like musical theater, and he's in a couple of shows out in like Vegas and LA. And then Pia is still doing music. She's on tour with David Foster. She tours with Andre Bocelli, and she's got a great touring career with them right now. And then, you know, like some people just, I don't think, really continue to pursue music afterwards. I actually just saw Caitlin. She just came to my show in Vegas. And
really?
It was really cool to see her for the first
time.
She
seemed cool, actually.
She's
I don't know. What do I know? She's
down to earth and really cool. And
everyone can put a face on camera, you know? You never know what anyone looks like.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I didn't... You don't really see me, if you notice. You don't really see me the first, like, five episodes. Because there's so much drama, and I could just feel that some of the drama was fabricated, and I was like, I don't want anything to do with this. When you want to write songs and, like, create, and when you want to showcase me as an artist, I'll be over here, you know? But, like, until then, I'm not going to create some weird drama so I get more FaceTime. It just, like, wasn't going to be me.
Is it crazy, though, to watch that footage with your now ex that you were with for 10 years?
Yeah, it's insane.
And to look back and to see some of those personal phone calls on Netflix and like some of these conversations and this footage.
It's very weird.
Is it weird?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it weird? Because it's just like maybe that's not for people to see.
100%. Because like because it felt so natural when you're in it for as long as I was, where every aspect of your life is recorded. And yeah, he absolutely hated it as well. And they would, you know, producers would try to say things to him to get him riled up so that he would say something to me when we were on the phone. And and he was just like, I'm not doing that. And we, it was crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely weird when I look back on it. And I definitely don't think I would ever let anybody into my life like that now. But who knows, you know,
this record that you just put out, All I've Ever Known, I feel like artists sometimes say, oh, this is my most personal record, mm-hmm. or this is a really personal record, but this record's really intimate. Like, it there is a lot on this record that is so literal and so personal.
Yeah.
Like, even the opening track, which is my favorite, Paint You Perfect. Yeah. That's my favorite track on the record.
Thank you.
And this line, I'm keep going back to your dad, but your dad says to you, we don't do divorces.
Yeah.
That line hits me because I bet he really said that.
He 100% did. I remember where I was.
Where were you?
I was, this is going to sound weird, but I was sitting in my bathtub. I was like sitting in my bathtub.
Yeah.
And I was at my house that I lived in with my ex in Nashville before.
Where was your ex?
He had already moved out.
Yeah.
Technically, like he had already gone back to Illinois and he was working from Illinois and we were separated at that point.
Was it a long time coming? Do you feel like?
Yeah.
And do you feel like even on this show, it feels like on the show.
Yeah.
Like even back then.
Even back then. And there were so many things that were happening at that time that they didn't show on the show that were very telling
end up staying in it just because you were just been in it for so long? And maybe you really did, you know, have...
No, I loved him.
You loved him.
And maybe you still do. And I saw through a lot of things. And I let a lot of things go, as did he, though. You know, I mean, our relationship just was... It was a mess. And at times it was really, really great. But there were a lot of really messy moments that we ended up kind of trucking through. And then we kind of turned around and we were 30 and we were like, why are we doing this? You know, like, why are we continuously like pulling ourselves out of the rubble constantly? Like, why don't we just get off the bulldozer? You know what I'm saying? Like it just didn't make any sense anymore. And I think that like when I looked at myself at 21 years old, we were together. I was 21 years old when we got together, 20, 21. He was 19, 20. Like in that time. And it made so much sense back then. We had kind of the same friend. We had the same friends.
Yeah,
same
of course.
Friend group. We would go out all the time. Everything was based around like going out and like socializing and having fun and being young and dumb and fun, right?
Yeah.
And then you get older and you're like, you grow up and you kind of look at this other person and you're like, oh, wow, we grew up to be two different people, you know? Like, think of yourself at 21. And
what were the differences, though? Were the differences just that you were pursuing this artist career and were so singularly focused, can't say that word, on blowing yourself up as an artist? And maybe he wasn't, you know, maybe he didn't like being on the road. Or there's even the line in the song of you mentioning him on stage. And he didn't like that, maybe.
So, like, that was actually a specific moment that happened. It was where like my mom, I think, was like, oh no, you know.
Wait, what was the moment or what happened?
We were at a show and I was like up there, you know, just very much being like, my husband and where is he and blah blah blah, and I love him so much, and I'm here because of him and he's always supported me and yada yada. And my mom was standing behind him and heard him say something really just not nice.
Why would he not want that, though?
I don't know.
I would want...
And that's when my mom was like, okay, something is going on that I wasn't telling her. And that's when she started to really keep her eyes open. And I think it made a lot more sense after that we just, like, we weren't compatible anymore. But going back to what you said, it wasn't because I was just so, so focused on my career, because I really made him a part of my career. I really did. And I would, you know, when I first moved back from L.A., we had to go back to Illinois because that's where Indy could work. And, like, he was in the union there. And so he really had trouble working anywhere else. If he was going to be in a union, it was like a huge process. And so I said, okay, well, you just moved out to LA for me. And we were on this show and we lived out here for 2 years. And now we have to go back because I have to be in Nashville. And how about I'll just go back to Illinois and I'll commute for a while so you can get back in the swing of things with work. Okay, cool. That's how I was able to like almost convince him to go back, because he wanted to stay in LA.
Yeah. Oh, he did.
Yes. And I couldn't stay there. I couldn't. Like,
why do you want to stay in LA? You know, it doesn't matter. He just liked LA. He liked the limelight.
Yeah,
let's be honest.
No,
he liked the stars and everything. So you convince him to move back.
So I convinced him to move back. I start commuting to Nashville. It's a 4.5-hour drive.
Yeah.
That's why, like, in Painted, it says, I gave it 4-hour drives, flying for a night.
Yes, yes,
so
yes.
So what would happen is I would drive to Nashville. I would write Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I would couch surf this entire time. I didn't know anybody. I just would, like, meet people and be like, yo, can I crash your house? And I would, you know? And then Tana Matz, my friend, ended up putting me up for a little bit. So then on Friday, I would drive all the way back to St. Louis. I would spend Friday and Saturday with him. And on Sunday, I would turn around and
come back
to Nashville. I did that for 2 years.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And that was
every week
mm-hmm. doing that because you needed that commitment.
Yeah.
And so then now fast forward, your dad is saying to you, we don't do divorces.
Yeah.
And but then is the true in like in the song that then you start telling him these stories.
Yeah.
And you say, no, but listen to this.
Yeah.
I need you on my side here.
I know.
That's what you're.
Everybody's wondering what happened main stage on the beach, Atlantic City. I'm like, yeah, that's the one thing that I don't really talk about because it was just not a good day. And but you know.
Was it something that he did that just really put it over the edge?
Mm-hmm.
And was that the breaking point?
Yeah, for me.
For you?
Mm-hmm.
I remember
actually calling Beth after that happened.
Your manager,
well, that
Beth.
Night. Yeah, my manager, Beth. I called her later that night, and I was like, there's just no way I can come back from this. And, we actually ended up having to go from that just horrible night to Texas to a family vacation, and we had to, like, play like everything was cool this entire, like...
Really?
Family vacation.
Oh my God.
It was. Yeah.
You couldn't have.
And then when I got back from that is when we separated.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even imagine. Yeah. How hard is it? Now you've got this new guy who's all over TikTok.
He's not all over TikTok.
You just made a whole.
I made one.
Was
TikTok
that the reveal? Was that the reveal?
No, the reveal was on Instagram like weeks before
I
catch up.
I wasn't paying attention. Who is it? Is it hard to get back into another relationship because you think you know someone for 10 years?
Yeah, it was tough.
Is it tough? Why did this guy win you over? What did this guy do that made you feel comfortable enough to be in a relationship with him?
He's the best person I've ever met in my life. It's
really?
Insane. It's literally like so first of all, I was completely distraught after my divorce. Like, just an absolute mess. And started having like so many anxiety issues and just like what is the word I'm looking for, like identity issues and like just like who am I without this person? I've never been alone, you know. And so spent that time around my friends and just like tried so hard to just like stay away from home and like just be social and be with my friends. And so, yeah, I would hang out with the guys and I would hang out with Beth and my friends back home and stuff. But when I would come here and I would hang out with the guys, like Rocco was just like,
you wrote
really,
with him, right? He's a writer. He's got songs.
He's a writer.
On,
he's got songs on the record. Songs on the record.
And do you think that you opening up to him about some of the personal things that you wrote about on your record.
Yeah.
Did that create a little bit of a spark?
I think so. I think just the way that he just didn't judge me through it all. And he, like, as a friend, was just so fragile with me, I guess. And I just felt like there's not a lot of people that I feel like I can, like, ugly cry in front of. And he just became one of those people. And he was just, like, really constant as a friend. And you know, we both are, like, Christians and we both very much like walk in our faith.
Shared values.
Yeah, shared values. And so like he was able to give me advice as far as like leaning on God in this situation and like reading the word and you know what I'm saying.
How do you take that relationship from a professional one to a romantic one? Because
that was
it's tricky, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
How does that happen?
So at first I very much pushed it off. Like when I first initially started having feelings for him, I was just like, oh no, this is like.
And did he show any signs
to me
towards you?
No.
No.
He was like, no.
But was he feeling those feelings too?
Yeah, well, now I know that he was feeling those feelings. Like whenever,
so he says.
Like,
I mean, of course he's going to say that.
Yeah, he says that now, right? But like,
I was in love with you the moment I saw you. Of course he's going to say that. We'll never fucking know.
Right.
Okay,
but now,
yeah,
he,
yeah.
You know, he was very much like, no, you are my boss. Like, it was very much that. He was like, this is a recipe for disaster. I love you. Like, we're such good friends, you know.
Wait, but he
like,
said that? What happened to be in a situation where he even is saying that? Like, did you make a move on him or something? Like, how do you get into this situation?
No, like, I was the first one to tell him how I felt.
How do you do that?
I don't know. I just told him. I think we were probably, like, it was probably after a show or something.
I've never.
Like, drinking, and I was just like.
Because he's on the road with you, right? He plays guitar.
Do you feel like we're, like, more than friends? I probably said something, like, you know. I'm, like, looking at Beth because I'm, like, she's looking at me like that's probably how it went down. We're probably, like, having a drink after a show, and I'm, like, do you like me as more than
friends? You weren't overthinking this moment because if I was trying to make this happen with someone, I would be overthinking this.
And it's not that I had just went through it. Like, it was, what, 6 months later, at least? Eight months later?
Why would,
and we were also separated for a year, like almost an entire year prior.
But
I wasn't overthinking it. I was just like, we were probably just drinking and hanging out. And I was just like, do you feel this way too? You know? And he's like, no. I was like, what? It was very much like him trying to push it away because of the whole, like, he works for me dynamic. And he's like, this could go so, so bad. And then we just kind of like cooled it and hung out as friends. And then it just happened so organically.
But what does that mean? Like, then were you at another show and your same situation?
Like, it just progressed. Like, we became more flirty and I could just tell that he was feeling the same way. And then we talked about it.
I think what you did actually opened it up, because you said that and he shot it down quick because, of course, he's not going to.
For sure.
But then he thought about it.
Yeah.
And he thought, wait a second.
Yeah.
She clearly feels this way. Do I feel this way? He started to realize that he did feel this way. Maybe he opens up, throws a little flirty move out there.
Yeah.
You respond. That was a pivotal point what you did there.
Right.
I think.
I just like kind of suggested that it could be a thing maybe. And he was just like, no.
And he bit it for it.
He
but
said
is
no,
it risky?
But then it opened it up. It opened his mind up to it. And then like I just noticed things were kind of different after that point. Like he was just like more flirty with me and we just got like more comfortable and whatever. And then eventually he told me he felt the same way. And then
Is it exhausting to be in your life? So here you're out on a date with your boyfriend. Is he your boyfriend?
He's my boyfriend now.
He's your boyfriend now.
That's new.
It's new. We're not putting labels on it.
Yeah.
Is it exhausting to be on a date with this guy and maybe you just want to live your life and eat a donut and hold hands but you're filming this date to get the content, and then you go home and you narrate and you go, oh my, are we getting all the right shots? Like, to me, this is exhausting. This is not what I want to be doing on a date. But he's got to understand this because he's in the business too.
No, he totally does.
He knows that this is a part of the whole thing. But is it exhausting to be documenting all this, or are you so comfortable with it it's just very natural for you?
No, because here's the thing. It's like on an actual date, I would never like document that. Right. So like the thing is, if I wake up and I'm like, hey, there's this donut place across the street and I need to make some content today. You want to go get donuts? Like that's that. It's not he would never take me on like a romantic dinner and I pull my phone out and start documenting or like going back and going, wait, can I walk through the door again? And will you film? Never.
I don't know.
That
might create some good videos.
It would never. I would just never do it.
Yeah. Okay.
You know,
right.
It's very much like I wake up and I'm like, hey, this would be a cool video to make today. And also like, we can, you know, kind of break the news to TikTok that we're together. Boom. And it's like that. I would never.
And do people freak out about this? Like, do your fans?
I thought people knew because I guess, like, I just forget that people on TikTok don't always follow me on Instagram. And I had leaked it on Instagram when we were in Cabo on our vacation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah.
This is such an exciting life. Is it? How great? Isn't it a blessing to be doing this independent artist thing?
Yeah.
Now when you have the tools to be able to do it. Like, if you were trying to do this even 10 years ago, I don't know that you could have.
You notice I, like, perk up when you start talking about independent artists because I love to talk this subject.
But to me, it's like, you could not have had this career that you're having.
No.
Probably 10 years ago, even.
No.
It would have looked totally different.
100%.
Now you have the tools to call your own shots, mm-hmm. to make this however you want to make it. If you were trying to announce this relationship with a major label, there might have been a whole committee. You might have had to get approval on posts and all this, but you just go, no. I have a relationship with this person. I want my fans to be connected to me. I want them to know what's going on in my life. And you just throw it out there.
Can you imagine?
If
somebody was like, you can't post that.
I think that's what would be happening. What would be happening if you were
don't even think that even if I was in that situation that I would. That makes me sound so like rebel child, which I'm really not, but
I don't think it does. I think
it's like,
just,
honestly,
you should have control over the narrative of your artistry and of your career.
It's insane.
And you should be as, if you want to be honest with your fans, you should have the option to be honest with them.
I think that if you are able to take backlash, then you should be completely as honest as you can be in your life via social media. But if you are somebody that cannot handle having everybody all up in your business and judging you and rewriting your narrative for you, then don't do that. But I don't really care.
Is it exhausting, though? Because I've heard you say in interviews that you go on tour, you don't write when you're on the road.
I don't, no.
Because you can't, it's too hard. Your focus on the road needs to be on the shows and moving tickets.
Yeah, I have to sell my own tickets.
You have to sell your own tickets.
I have to make the content.
To me, is that so fucking exhausting?
Yeah.
To be on so Instagram and TikTok every day. How do I sell out the show? What's the content I'm going to put out? Constantly filming. You constantly feel like you have to look good and be well-dressed. And everything you put out there, your fans are going to pick it apart. Is that exhausting? It just seems like a nightmare.
Well, it is, but I'm actually looking for my phone. Beth, can I see my phone? I'm gonna read you something that I... This is what I do on the road to keep this from feeling less exhausting. So I have this little notes app. And it's Beth is shared on it so she can see like when I mark things off. But it's like my tour schedule. So like, let me see. Okay, so it says AKA tour schedule every day. So basically I wake up at 7 a.m. and I have my wake up call. And everything on this has, you can see, it's got like, where's the camera? There we go. It's got like little bullet points. And Beth is shared on this so she can see like when I check each bullet point. But I like wake up 7 a.m. wake up call, I have my coffee, I take my medicines, and then I like, you know, water, whatever, because I have to have a certain amount of bottles of water a day. Like my vocal coach wants me to have like 8 bottles of water a day.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Who pees more than you in this band?
And, but then if I have coffee, I have to have 2 more bottles of water for every coffee I have.
That's right, because coffee's very dehydrating. Yeah. It's not good for the vocal cords.
Right.
Who, just tell me, are you peeing more than anyone in this band?
100%.
You're peeing the most.
100%. Everyone has to stop for
everyone's stopping for you so you can go pee. Okay.
Well, no, when we're on a bus, we don't have to stop, so that's good.
Okay. But,
okay, so 7 a.m., I have to do that, coffee, like my stomach medicines and like all that stuff because I have bad belly. Anyways, 8:30 a.m. to 9.
Maybe she's pooping too. We'll never know. Okay.
We'll never know.
So
I go through my show photos and choose like all of my select photos from the day.
I
send Nick my selects, and then I have another bottle of water. By 9 a.m. I'm doing my Instagram post, my Instagram reel, my Instagram Facebook stories, my Facebook post, my Facebook reel, my fan club post, my 3 Snapchats, and my TikTok stories, and then I have another bottle of water. That's all happening before 9:30 a.m.
Wait, 3 Snapchat, 3 Snapchat posts. You don't have 3 Snapchat accounts.
No, 3 Snapchat posts.
Posts, yeah.
And then by 10 a.m.
And is this so
I'm
natural? Hold on. Is this so natural for you that you don't think about it, or are you stressing out about what's my Snapchat post going to be? Like, are you talking to your band?
No, so like
and
my Snapchat post will just be like me across from you right now. Actually, we'll just do one of those.
Let's
just
do one right now while we're here.
Here
let's
go.
Check one off.
Go ahead. You just give me a little. Give me a little thumbs up.
We're on the Zach Kuhn Show with Alexandra Kay. Was that
there
it?
You go.
This is so... God, I could be a content god. This is so easy.
Yeah.
So now it's 9:30.
Yeah.
Then you go work out. To me, when I go on the road, the first thing I neglect is working out.
Well, I neglect that. If there's anything that I'm going to neglect on my schedule because I have a really tight one that day, or I have an interview or something like that that's thrown in between, then I'm neglecting working out for sure. Because mostly we're tired. It's 3 a.m.
Yeah.
But then I like eat for the first time at 11.
What are you eating on the road that's healthy? Because it's so hard to eat good food on the road.
Yogurt. So we have a fridge in our bus. So I'll have like yogurt, granola, berries. I'll have like eggs, egg whites.
Do you make eggs on the bus?
Yeah. So like I'll just put egg whites like in a cup and I microwave them.
Oh, yeah. That's what I do sometimes. Yeah.
So that works and it's all good.
Anyway, so the point is, but everything that you do on the road is very scheduled. This is not like a hobby. This is
it's
business.
It's game time.
And this is game time.
Serious. Speaking of game time, like we literally have like what we call game tape. So every single night Nick is like in the crowd videotaping my entire show from the crowd. And then I think it says at noon here, I go in and I watch game tape from the previous night. And then I edit 2 TikToks.
That is the most important thing. When I go on the road, I set up a camera, like my own iPhone. Because when I go out, no one films this. And I think it's crazy.
Yeah. It's.
And I put an iPhone right on myself. Mm-hmm. I want to hear how I sound. I want to hear how I look.
Right.
Sometimes you think you're like Pete Townsend and you're huge. And you watch the video back and you're so tiny in these gestures. Sometimes you think you're tiny and you look like a maniac.
Right.
Like I want to watch all this. And then that's the only way I get better. Do you find this? Because I find I am delusional to how I sound on stage when I play guitar.
Mm-hmm.
I have no clue how I sound.
Yeah.
I listen back. That's the only way I know how I sound on stage. Do you find that out too? Like,
Like, I do.
Like, do you think it's an amazing show? And you listen back, and it's sometimes it's hard to listen to.
Well, I mean, that also is depending on your sound guy if you're not bringing out a front of house.
But to me, it's not the quality of the sound. It's like, I think I'll be in rhythm, and I'm out of rhythm, or like I'll think like. But so then the only way I get this feedback is if I listen back to myself.
So like I'm very, very.
You're just more talented than I am, probably. Is probably what. Well, I got the sense you were about to say, let you continue.
No, it's not that. It's fine.
It's totally fine.
It's more that you're just getting off rhythm all the time when you're out there.
No, not all the time. I'm just saying I'll listen back.
I know.
And it's not
it.
As perfect as I thought it sounded
for
on
sure.
stage.
That happens to me. That
yes.
100% happens to
I'm
me.
I'm going
to
pitch
like,
to be in your band in 2 seconds, so I need to sound strong. But I'll let
well,
you continue.
I'm dating the guitar players. So that's going to be hard.
You can't have two guitar players in the band? What, like, or a utility guy? What's
we really do need a utility guy. What do you play?
I play pedal steel. That's not a joke.
What?
Yes. See, if we never hang out. If
okay.
we hung out once,
I think we were going to hang out for Super Bowl yesterday, but I ditched you as well. I ditched you both.
This is all true. I play pedal steel. I play banjo. I play acoustic guitar. I can do a little mandolin.
What?
I am your utility guy.
You are.
And I love this record. I want to go out and I want to play it
okay,
on the
I'll
road.
Okay, I'll have a meeting with my manager.
You're never going to take me out. Let's be honest. But if there's an opening, I want to be considered.
100%.
Get the fuck out of here.
All right, fine.
Okay, so what were we even saying? What were we saying?
We were talking about my schedule. But yeah, basically everything is really lined out because if I'm not, I have so many things that I do throughout the day. Like there are also times within that schedule. So I think 1 o'clock is when Beth has two times throughout the day where she can schedule any interviews or anything that I have in the day. So yeah. Like from 1 to 2 is going to be like my press time. So I'll do all of my interviews between 1 to 2. And then, or 1 to 3, whatever it is. Then I sound check by 3:30. And then I have another content area of time between like 4 and 5. Meet and greet starts at 6. And then I go meet and greet 6 to 7, doors open. And then I eat my dinner and then I go on stage.
Is this really, are the meet and greets really special?
They're so special.
Really? Because some artists don't do them. Some artists think that they don't like the fact that it feels like this disingenuous thing. You get 10 seconds with everyone. You take their photo on to the next person.
Well, I don't pay. You don't pay for mine. Mine
I was
free.
Really?
So
why?
Yeah.
Why would you not charge for them? You can make so much money.
Because I would rather just connect
right.
with everybody. And
so who gets
thing.
A meet and greet? How
here's,
do you get a meet and greet?
Here's another thing that I feel like artists. If money is the goal, right? You are going to end up with way more monetarily if you have an actual connection with those people. Imagine walking up to somebody on the street and asking for $10. They're probably not going to give it to you. But if you walk up to a friend and you say, hey, can I have $10? They'll be like, sure, what for? And then they'll give it to you. It's you don't have to just charge for somebody to meet you. Go out there and make those connections with those fans, and they will probably spend money on your merchandise.
So who gets chosen for a meet and greet?
So how I do it is we set up, it's an Eventbrite link, and it's free. It's like a free link, and they go on, and they just have to claim their spots. 150 free meet and greets every show. So I meet 150 people for free. And once they're gone, they're gone. So, like, you have to get
you
them
just
the
to get
day
time.
I put
you
the
have
link
to sell
up.
Out every show. You it's, sold on I, this last tour yeah. 50,000 tickets. Was that the number?
It was 50,000. I've done over 50,000 tickets for the year.
For the year.
Last year. And only my headlining shows.
In your headlining shows. So that yeah. doesn't even include the festivals. They
no,
were playing,
no, no, no.
The
only
opening.
Me, Alexandra Kay,
brought
with the 50, name on the ticket,
people
over 50,000.
As an independent artist, 50,000 people out to the show. Sold out in Nashville. Most of these shows are sold out.
Yeah. The All I've Ever Known tour was, I believe we did, just on that tour alone, we did almost 30,000 tickets.
Who was the most famous person to come out to one of these shows?
I don't know. I don't really know that we have famous people that come out.
Who's coming out to the shows? Who are these fans?
They're, you know, on this last record, it ranges like crazy because you have the young girls that like love Skip This Part and Backward Therapy and they still love All I've Ever Known.
Yeah.
But then you have, now I've dipped into this different demographic of like 35 to like 65 year old women who are going through divorce for the first time in 30,
and they're connecting.
40 years.
Could I find my wife at an Alexandra Kay show?
I think so.
Maybe.
She might be a little broken.
Oh boy.
She might be a little sad.
Why is that funny?
She might be a little sad. It's just funny because like I think I'm sad, and so like it's like
you don't strike me as a sad person at all. No. You are so cheerful
in my music.
In your
music,
sure.
In my music,
sure.
I'm sad.
And how you present on the outside is not necessarily how you feel on the inside. But I just feel like you are such a bright energy in
Thank
every
you.
Room you walk into. I've seen you on red carpets at the
Thank
Grammys. You just always have a curious wonder to you, and just a smile and like a happiness.
Thank you.
That you bring into the room. Maybe it's all fake. I don't know.
No, it's not.
But it feels genuine.
It's real joy.
It feels real.
I'm just that joyful to be here with you.
Yeah. Here's the point. Alexandra Kay is on the road. Are you on the road right now?
No. I'm
actually
going
back
off the road because I'm writing my second album.
So I was getting some emails about this from your publicist, who was sending me emails about the second album. This is going to be this. There's a totally different theme for this album, right? This could be a mental health album. Is that going to be the theme that this album's turning into?
This one, I think, is just going to be more of like a healed version of me, and maybe like what it's like to, you know, feel excited about a relationship again, and kind of come out of this just knowing myself a lot better and being more confident in myself, and you know, I think like my word to describe this year, like 2024, is independence. And I was just saying this the other day on another podcast that, you know, wasn't as cool as this one, obviously. But
get the fuck out of here.
But no, I think that's my year, or that's like my word for the year, is independence. And because it's not only just me being so proud of being an independent artist, that like I used to look at it as a shameful thing. I'm not signed to a label, you know. And now I'm like, I'm not signed to a label. Like, I am so proud to do this with my small independent team, and the fact that everything we get, we appreciate it so much because we fought tooth and nail for it.
Is it hard to make a record that sounds as good as this record does as an independent artist? Because sometimes you hear these independent artists in Nashville and you listen to their music and it sounds like crap. This record sounds like it could have come out of a major label. It is so pro sounding. Everything about it sounds so good.
Thank you.
How hard is it to pull that off as an independent artist? Or at this point, are you just you're working with the best people, and people want to work with you because you're who you are.
You know, the good thing is that I don't think that it really matters if your sound doesn't matter if you're signed to a label or not. To me, I think that it just matters if you are with somebody that you trust and that you can have like an open working relationship with.
No, but
so
I
Andrew
think there's
Capra
a,
and I
yeah.
have been working together now for 4 years, and so this is like, I don't even know how many songs we've worked on together, but we've just been working together for so long that I think that's what you hear. One, he's an incredible producer. He's so talented. But like, we were able to go into this and like co-produce it together, and it just came out exactly how I wanted it. And I think that you just, what you're hearing is also just a culmination of years of two people getting to know each other and then nailing it on this track.
But I think even still with all that, you need to be really talented as a producer, as an engineer, to make
he
a record
is.
Sound
yeah.
professional. And he just is.
Yeah, he just 100% is. I mean, like, he's had so many incredible songs come out just last year and this year already.
Here's the point. Point is, Alexandra Kay is an inspiration for artists. She's doing it on her own terms. She's out on the road. She's selling thousands of tickets. She has millions of streams. People are connecting to this music, and they like that she's independent.
They
don't want her to sell out, even though at some point I think she will. And I think that's coming, and we're all gonna have to deal with that. It's fine. It's what's best for, if it's what's best for Alexandra and her team, it's what she's gonna do. What have we left anything out here? What's been unsaid?
No, I mean, I just kind of wanted to like finish my sentiment on like independence and just the fact that like not only is it like me being so proud of being an independent artist, but it's me being so proud of being like an independent woman and just like finding myself out of this divorce and finally like knowing who I am without someone else. And I just like, I don't know, I'm so much more confident. And people have been commenting like over the last couple of months, they're like, wow, the glow up you've been having. And I'm like, I don't really think that I look much different. I think it's just that my energy is different because I'm just really becoming comfortable in my own skin and just really excited about who I am and who I can be.
This is the, you and your boyfriend, what's his name?
Rocco.
Rocco. You guys are the Travis and Taylor of the new age of country music. This is what this relationship is becoming. I think there's a lot of guys out coming to these shows who are very envious of Rocco.
Yeah.
They are incredibly envious of him, and they wish they had their shot. And maybe there was a time that they could have, but now it's that window has closed.
He's been getting some weird DMs.
Really? Like what? Like what?
Just, you know, people saying like, oh, you better take care of her. Do you have any idea how many guys wanted a shot with her and stuff? And he's like, this is weird. And I'm like,
Rocco's confident, though.
Oh, my gosh. He's so confident.
That's what we like about him.
And
he's secure.
He is so sweet.
He's sweet.
Like, so sweet and kind. And you want to know
how do we know this? How do we know this isn't just an act that he's putting on?
It's not, because he's been this way since 3 years ago when I met him the first time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just different in a romantic relationship now. But like, you know, something that I tell girls all the time whenever they're like talking to me about my new relationship and stuff, it's like he brings out a feminine energy in me that I feel like I kind of left behind in my old relationship.
Does that mean? Like, define what that is.
I was more just like tough and hard and just like,
and you felt like you had
a
to
little
put
more
that
on edge. Yeah, because I took care of business in my old relationship. Like, I was, you know, the person who had, you know, took care of all of the issues that happened, whether that be financially, whether that be like, getting anyone out of trouble or like anything like that. I just felt like I was always on my toes, right? And it made me just a little bit hard. And now this man treats me like a porcelain doll. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, if he opens every single door, like, it's like the fairy tale stuff. Ties my literally will bend down and tie my shoe.
God, this is why I've got no one in my life.
It's insane.
I've never tied a shoe for anyone.
No, so, you gotta tie
this
more
is why,
shoes.
This
man.
Is why I've got nothing.
You gotta be tying
I need to
shoe.
Be hanging around Rocco and taking some notes.
He's incredible.
Wow, I love this.
Yeah.
Alexandra Kay is on the podcast. Oh, I had so much I want to ask you. We're running out of time.
You want to do a rapid fire?
I want to ask you about, so when you were starting out at the Four Seasons, just working at the Four Seasons, you started to sing demos for people.
Yeah.
And somehow you ended up on doing a Nelly demo, or what did you do with Nelly?
So what ended up happening was I was working at the Four Seasons as a hostess in the restaurant, Four Seasons St. Louis. And there were a couple guys that were kind of like dabbling in hip hop, and one of them actually being Smino, who's
big.
Yeah, he's a big rapper now.
He's gone big.
Yeah, and I think he was like in the kitchen. I believe he worked in the kitchen. I was a hostess in the restaurant. And so we would like sneak away and go down to the like fifth floor lobby and like on our break, and he would like rap and I would sing. Like, this is what would happen.
Yeah.
And then he would be like, we would just talk about what we're going to do, and he would talk about how he thinks he's going to move to Chicago, and then he ends up doing it, and then, like, you know, signing and being like,
God.
Smino, like, being a big rapper. And it just really inspired me, and so I started just kind of, like, putting feelers out and being like, anybody in hip-hop in St. Louis that needs somebody to sing a track, like, I got you. I would go and sing, like, a couple of demos and tracks with like Doughboy and Yak Boy Fresh and like all of these people in St. Louis, and then they kind of pass my name around. They're like, yo, she does it for free and it sounds good. And so they kind of just passed my name around and stuff, and I got hooked up with some people signed to Dirty Entertainment, and that's how I ended up in the studio with Nelly.
But you were in the studio with him?
Yeah.
And doing what? Singing a demo?
Yeah, so basically, like, they would come in, they would work, and then whenever they needed female vocals, I would just hop up.
So, and is he vocal coaching, but vocal producing, or what do you call that? Is he giving you notes as you're singing on the vocals?
Like, Not really, no. They would just tell me what to sing, and I would just go in and lay it down, and
then
come back out, and there was always, like...
A
bunch of food laid out and like Orange Amsterdam everywhere. And like, it was just a really wild experience. And at this time I was working at a bar. So I would work at this bar until 3 o'clock in the morning, clock out, drive to St. Charles, which was probably another 45 minutes away. And I would be at the studio till probably 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning.
This is what you have to do.
Back home. And then I'd be back at work at 4 p.m.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I was, yeah.
We didn't even talk about your relationships with some of the biggest country stars in the industry. You and Tim McGraw, you were on the road with him.
Yeah, that's incredible.
You and Randy Travis are so friendly.
Yeah.
And I mean, who am I leaving out? Like, you're kind of
Tracy
like,
Lawrence is a good friend
Tracy
of mine.
Tracy Lawrence.
I just texted him. It was his birthday the other day.
Tracy Lawrence. And oh my God. You have so many.
I just got to meet Gary LaVoux and sing with him.
Gary LaVoux. Isn't that a great show? We toured. I was out opening on that show with an artist.
Yeah.
That's such a great band, and that show, they just play the hits.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I know.
He sounds unbelievable.
It was a really great show.
He's such a goofy guy.
He really is.
We did a show with him in Ohio, 4th of July weekend,
mm-hmm.
and post-show, we all get into a van with Gary, and we start driving through suburbia, Ohio. He's from Ohio. Three-car police escort, maybe four cars, like two in the front, two in the back.
Yeah.
Sirens. We're driving. I'm like, who is going to attack Gary LaVox in small? I just think these cops had nothing better to do. And then we ended up at some childhood friend's house of his, and we had a great night.
It's amazing.
With Gary. It's a great story.
No, he's amazing. He's
Isn't
really
it crazy,
great.
Though, when you, like, sometimes I'll be at the airport and I'll hear a Rascal Flatts song, and I'll be like, I know that guy. Or, like, you hear a Tim McGraw song, and you're like, I know Tim. Isn't that
weird?
Yeah,
like, I have his number on my phone.
Yeah.
Isn't that insane?
It's insane. What is
it? It's probably a different number now.
He's probably changed it. Once he knew you had it?
I think he changes it, like, every year. But, like,
no, he doesn't. That would be, no, he doesn't.
No, that's what they said.
What?
They were like, here is his, Tim wanted you guys to, Tim wanted you to have his
number. But just
know
you have 6 months left to use this. And then he's going to change the number.
It's probably, they're like, I mean, if you need anything, but like he does change it very regularly.
Wow.
But yeah, he was a great guy. You know what's really crazy about Gary is that he told me when we were sitting there that day that he does not warm up. He has never warmed up his vocals.
I believe that.
He just goes out.
He just does it, yeah.
He literally was waking up and he was like, ah. I was like, oh my gosh. Incredible voice.
Yeah. Okay, we're running out of time, but here's the point. The point is, you have to go stream Alexandra Kay's music. This new album, it's not even that new anymore. It's been out for a minute.
Yeah.
But it's really, really special. It is a personal album. And artists say that all the time. It's bullshit. This album is deeply personal and deeply intimate. And you have to go listen to it if you haven't already. And if you have, you know what I'm talking about. And we didn't even talk about Ever Leave or She Stayed or some of the other amazing songs on this record. You have to go listen to them. And she's going to be back on the road. And you have to see AK live. Because there's something special about when you see her live. There's no like big label. There's no budget for this production and everything that's happening. This is AK and her manager Beth, and they're putting this together, and it looks as good as anything else you're gonna see out there on the road. So that adds a whole other element to it that you need to go out and you need to see. You need to experience it in person. It's the only way to do it. And if you can't make it to a show, you need to follow her on TikTok and Instagram, and she's posting before Facebook. And she's posting before 9:30 a.m. and she's got a checklist and everything that feels so natural and no. It's all highly curated. Nothing is by accident.
Yeah.
Everything here is planned out. And she's got a new boyfriend. She's happier than ever. She's got a glow. She has a glow to her, and the fans are noticing it. And have we left anything out? Has anything been unsaid?
I don't think so. I just want to say thanks to everybody who's listening for giving the album a chance. And thanks to, you know, all the fans that made this such an incredible year for an independent artist. I'm just so grateful.
And there's new music coming soon.
New music coming soon. We're writing it now. We've got a lot of touring, a lot of touring happening this year.
I worry about you on the road. You tour like a rock act. So
we
most
do.
Country artists just go on the weekends or home during the week.
Uh-huh.
You're out 2 months at a time. I worry about you.
Yeah. No, it's okay.
This last one,
we were out for 61 days straight without going home, and I did almost lose my mind, but we kept it together.
But now you've got your boyfriend on the road with you.
Yeah, so it's really fun.
Home
it's
is
really
on
nice.
The road.
Yeah.
You're not
yeah.
missing him back home, whatever. You're not worried about, you know, is he hooking up with other girls while I'm on the road? No,
it's great.
You can keep an eye on him on the road.
Yeah, but I wouldn't need to keep an eye on him.
No, he's such a good guy. He's tying shoes. Give me a fucking break. My God. All right, Alexandra Kay, thanks for coming into the studio, onto the podcast.
Thank you, Zach.
Really fun. Maybe we'll hang sometime.
I hope so.
Probably not. But
get out of here.
If we did, it'd be great.
Get out of my podcast.
That's it. We're wrapped. Thank you, everybody.